Joining us now, the voice of the Panthers, Mick Mixon. What's going on, Mick?
It's all good. I'm just sipping some coffee, thinking about these greatly detested Atlanta Falcons and what they might bring to Charlotte tomorrow. How you guys been rolling?
Man, we're doing awesome. So what do you think? Is this going to be lucky 13 or unlucky 13?
I don't really believe in luck as much, but I think when it's your time, it's your time. The Panthers, I think, have gotten some breaks with some balls bouncing the Panthers' way and some officiating calls. I mean, I won't go through it verse and chapter, but I do think this, Atlanta's very dangerous because, like the Saints, they can pitch and catch. Matt Ryan can get hot. When he's right, he's extremely accurate and fast twitch back there from a mental standpoint. But their lines don't look right. Their offensive line, their defensive line, they're just not getting the pressure. They've only got 13 sacks as a defense. Offensively, they've had some issues in the red zone. Julio Jones hadn't scored a touchdown since week 8. But I think they'll try to rectify that. I think Julio Jones wants some more fades, some more jump balls in the end zone. So they'll probably try to accommodate him. So Josh Norman's got to be ready. He's got to go all Dark Knight mode, like he says.
Well, but Mick, you know, Atlanta has been one of the most inconsistent. It's like the very strange Jekyll and Hyde type team. So when you look at them and you're looking at preparing for them, where can they hurt you? Or what do you have? It's hard to decide what they can do well because they don't seem to do anything well with any regularity this year.
Not to exactly what they do well is they involve the 24, Devontae Freeman. He's in his second year out of Florida State, fellas, and he's got the low center of gravity, slippery little back, 5'8", but very powerful. Reminds you of D'Angelo Williams, got the dreadlocks flopping out of the back of his helmet. And he is a fantastic receiver. Last week he caught 10 for 56 yards at Tampa Bay. Matt Ryan loves throwing to him on little wheel routes, check release, swing pass. He'll leak out in the flat, middle screen. They can hurt you in a variety of ways with Devontae Freeman. So that's one thing. And then, you know, Julio Jones is a little bit like Cam Newton in that he changes. He's just different, sort of like a Dez Bryant. I mean, 6'3", 220 pounds at the height of his physical powers, his fifth year out of Alabama. So I think that combination, I mean, those are the three guys right there on offense is Jones, Ryan, and Freeman.
Well, do you anticipate them putting something together for the Panthers? I mean, it's one of those deals. They're coming down. They're coming up here, and you know, facing that Panthers defense, where do you think they will choose to put their attention?
I think they'll keep additional blockers in to try to protect Matt Ryan, mm-hmm. to give Matt Ryan a little cleaner pocket, give him some time to work his magic. But this will be a desperate Falcons team. I mean, they have to have this game. They were 5-0. Now they're 6-6. Their playoff hopes are still alive, but they need some help from some other teams, and they probably need to win out. I was talking to Coach Rivera this week. I don't think he'd mind me sharing with you guys that we were taping his TV show on Wednesday, during a break we were kind of visiting, and he was talking about how the Panthers have been disrespected all year. You guys feel this? I mean, the no love nationally. Everybody mm-hmm. is always talking about another team except the Panthers. Mm-hmm. He said, but Coach, it's been perfect because you've been able to get this team a mat on pretty much every week. He says, yeah, I know, but I don't know about this week. I'm struggling with kind of what to talk to him about this week. I said, Coach, I'm no new Rodney. I'm just a radio guy, but this is the Panthers' daggum rival. Right. I mean, greatness requires a foil. Muhammad Ali needed Joe Frazier. John F. Kennedy needed Richard Nixon. Duke and Carolina, they're the greyhounds. They're the mechanical rabbits for each other that allow the greyhounds to run. And if you don't have the Joker, why do you really need Batman? Put this team in your crosshairs and bring some pain because they're our rival.
Exactly. And Mick, you know, for me, you know, Mike and I are both, you know, first of all, Patriots fans. And I think one of the...
Low testing. I think we have a phone issue. What did you say?
We did. But one of the reasons I feel like that the Panthers have been disrespected is, you know, unfortunately or fortunately for them, they haven't really had anybody coming in that they're playing who's been playing really well. For me, I think I gained a lot more respect for the Panthers last week because it's really the first time that somebody has made them pay for mistakes early in a game. And New Orleans going up 14-0 kind of smacked the Panthers in the mouth a little bit. Now, it's interesting to see what the response was going to be. And the response was, next thing you know, the Panthers are leading the football game at halftime. And I think that's what people have been looking for. And maybe now it has changed to Ron Rivera's point, is that, you know what? Somebody smacked him in the mouth. They responded. They still won the football game. So now the tables have turned, and now there's an expectation that the Panthers, you know, should walk the dog and run the rest of the schedule. For me, it's not this Atlanta game that I'd be worried about. I think it's the next one, because you go at the Giants and at the Falcons, playing the Falcons 2 out of 3 weeks after playing the Giants, who are also in desperation mode.
Well, there you go. So you're not taking your ball games one at a time.
Right.
You're on 16, six over, and you're thinking, I've never broken 80 before, but if I just – all I got to do is par – or bogey in, and I'm going to break 80.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what happens to you when you do that.
Well, shoot 84.
That's very un-Belichick of you, actually, to be looking that far ahead. I mean, we're on to Atlanta, and Atlanta's tomorrow. So that's about as far as we're going to as I think we should be looking out. When I'm looking at this team, and it's here I'm going to look out a little bit here as well. I said earlier that I thought this team would be better off in its playoff run if it lost a regular season game. And I don't know why I feel that. I think there's a test behind it. There's a chance to come together. A little adversity. Is that just straight up flawed thinking and take it one at a time? And if they can get to 12-0 and 13-0 and 14-0, just ride that thing out?
I think it is. I mean, all due respect to the golf shop, because I love you guys, but I mean, you brought it up. So my honest opinion is that there's no science behind it. There's no logic behind it. If you take an evidentiary view of NFL football games, they're excruciatingly difficult to win. Any game's hard to win because the teams are so even. And if you don't play well, you'll take a loss because any other team is capable of beating you. So I just don't see. Sure, if the Panthers went six, if the Panthers did go into the playoffs unbeaten, there'd be a little bit of a, you know, you'd be, like I said last week, you'd be taxiing out to the on-ramp of history. But I don't think that kind of pressure is predatory to playing well in a particular game. I think once – this is what's not largely understood, and I don't understand it really myself because I've never played the game, at least not unless you count a Mite League football for the Chapel Hill Chargers that went winless in all of my seasons there, is that once the game starts – I mean, we're talking about motivational speeches and disrespect, and that's all good. It's important. But once someone crushes you in the head and hits you so hard that it hurts your parents, you're really not thinking about 16-0. You're just thinking about, okay, let me drive it in the fairway. Let me scalp a little 6-iron on the green. Let me 2-putt and get my par. You know, you're much more process-oriented than you are results-oriented. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Sure it does. Sure it does. You know, one thing I want to throw out there too is how many deep breaths did y'all take in the booth last week watching Cam get his legs caught underneath him and then taking a shot to the head? You know, this is getting down to crunch time, not only in the season, but you know, when you start looking at taking hit after hit after hit this year, you kind of start to wonder, you know, can Cam hold up? And you know, we're waiting to see if he can do that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. That game, the Saints game, took about 6 months off my life because of that. I mean, plus the unnecessary hit. You know, Cam, it looked to me like when he turned the corner right side on the one where he's angling to the pylon, he's kind of starting to nonchalant it a little bit because he knows he's in. And then he gets laced at the pylon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hate to say he deserved a kid, right. But
run.
My gosh, I mean, that was a blow. But he's all day tough. I mean, Cam Newton he's got the Superman and the megawatt smile and the white teeth and the narrow waist and the broad shoulders and the Gatorade commercials and all that. But inside all that, there's a warrior king. I mean, mm-hmm. he is a tough athlete. I think globally for the Panthers, we're an interesting story, but we're a regional story. We're a nice little, don't you feel, nationally, I feel writers and broadcasters patting us on the head like we're this little crew cut redhead Opie Taylor boy. Isn't that cute? The Panthers are 12-0. My gosh. Well, but what have they done? And they're right in a sense. We hadn't done anything. Until you get to the top of the mountain, all you are is a regional, nice little regional story. But if we could do it, the Cam brand, the Luke brand, the Panther brand, it would go worldwide in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, and speaking regionally, I mean, how about the demand for tickets and the electricity that this team has brought to the Carolinas? I mean, it is, you know, I know we get accused of being fair weather fans, but this is phenomenal. The excitement can you guys feel it in the facility?
And all over town. I mean, nothing brings people together. It's one of the great things about football. Nothing brings people together like an NFL team. There's only 32 of them, and when the team is playing well. Because we're not a Charlotte team. We're not even a North Carolina team. We're a regional team. The two Carolinas, parts of Georgia, Virginia. It's people around here. I mean, we got Democrats and Republicans getting along. We got people whopping each other on the back, talking at gas pumps and in the stores and the malls. People see your jersey. They see your hat. They see your bumper sticker. And then the differences between us melt away.
Well, Mick, man, as always, we appreciate you hopping on with us. And you know what? We've talked to you after 4-0, after 8-0, now at 12-0. So I guess we're going to have to get you if it's 16-0, right?
Well, let's not mess up the mojo.
We're on to Atlanta. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Channel your inner Belichick. We're on to Atlanta.
My bad. Just do your job.
If we can be your second favorite team.
Sure.
We'll be all right with that.
Absolutely.
All right, Mick. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks a lot.